Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life is celebrating its 30th year of ministry this year, 30 years of transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. New Life Live is dedicated to helping you in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Jason Martinkus here, sitting in for Steve Arterburn, and I'm in studio today with Milan Yurkovich.
Hey, how are you, Jason?
Doing fantastic. And Dave Stoop.
Hey, Jason. Good to see you.
Good to see y'all. Glad to be here with you both. We're excited about today. And today's show, we want to take your calls, talk to you, and see what's going on in your life and see how we can help. So we're going to jump right in. We're going to start with Laura in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, listens on Sirius XM. Hi, Laura. Are you with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi. How can we help you?
Hi, guys. I just want to say I love your show. I listen all the time, and I'm a huge supporter. I'm a Club New Life member.
Thank you.
And I just thank you guys for what you do.
Thank you.
So my question is regarding a conversation with my mother. She is a vacillator. And so she's started a lot of strife in our family, and I want advice on how to begin a conversation with her, trying to get her to see that she's at the root of all of it, because of her anger and her other behaviors.
Okay.
And I've tried to have conversations with her before, but it's very hard because she rationalizes, justifies, and she also gives a lot. I think she does that to kind of manufacture what she's craving with that relational closeness. So she'll go into this victim role, like, all that I do for everybody. And, you know, it's very hard to have a conversation with her. So I just don't know where to start.
Okay. Real quick, let's clarify the term. So, Milan, you wrote the book on vacillating. I guess not. You did. No pun intended. You wrote a book about vacillating.
Yep.
Let's first describe what that means for people listening.
The vacillator is our term that our editors ask us to take on. Technically, the vacillator is preoccupied with, and they're called preoccupied, and they're preoccupied in the relational closeness and distance. Secondly, based upon how preoccupied and their brain is spinning about what they think others are thinking about them, they're also then ambivalent. They're either very all into the relationship, or they withdraw if they feel hurt or excluded or separate. So they basically are an individual who has low self-awareness. They're reactive. They're dominant. They're controlling. And as Laura said, they get angry at others for not being ideal. So there's a brief summarization.
Okay.
They crave closeness, and they usually have abandonment themes in their history, which is why they so crave closeness in their present.
And then they run away.
And then they run away when they don't get it. Mm-hmm. So they're either all in or all out. So
what does she do?
Well, that's a great, great question. Where's Kay? Kay's usually here to help answer those hard questions.
Where is Kay?
You know, I empathize with you. I had a vacillator for a mother as well. And it's very difficult to grow up in that environment. But basically what you have to do is lovingly begin to challenge certain things. And the more people you can have on board with the loving challenges, the better. And when we come back from our commercial break, I will share with you two or three ideas that you can use, Laura, that will help you, okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay, great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Be right back.
Great. Hey, we're in studio for the next hour. I'm looking to take your calls. We'd love to talk to you. The number is 1-800-229-3000. we're going to be talking about the idea of vacillating. We're going to talk about how to deal with that. We're also going to have special guests on with us after this next break, and then we'll talk a little bit about what's going on in the ministry and how you can be a part of life change. So stick with us. We'll be right back.
My husband had done the Every Man's Battles, and I thought, what? There's something for women?
The Restore Workshop is coming to Washington, D.C., November 9th through the 11th.
There are so many other people that are going through the same things, that love the Lord, and it doesn't look very Jesus to do certain things and think certain things about your mate, but that's normal. I just got a new normal. It's not dark in there. It's very light. You literally hear people laughing that could not even smile or frown. I was that way as well. I was pretty much just flat. It happened almost immediately, the energy of everyone pulling together for restoration. It happens pretty fast.
To find out more about the Restore Workshop, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
It went from get out quick with the info to making friends.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to New Life Live. Jason Martinkus here sitting in for Steve Arterburn. And we're talking with Laura, who is struggling with how to talk with her mom and the issues that go along with that. So, Mylon, you were gonna finish there.
Well, Laura, can you give me an illustration of like what you're trying to deal with right now? Just a very thumbnail, brief sketch, what you're trying to deal with, like a recent situation where she causes strife in the family?
There was a situation where my grandmother lives with them and off on a mother-in-law suite, so it's kind of separate from the house. My sister-in-law had scheduled a repairman to come do something, and my sister-in-law had taken a scheduled takeoff to be there when the guy came. My mom caught wind of it, and she went into a full-on rage. And I believe at the root of it, it's because she wasn't included. Like, she felt like, why didn't anyone tell me?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And that's one of the recent ones.
Okay, so that's a good illustration because mm-hmm. that's very, very common. And so what I would do, and I presume that's gone by. It's been a little while since then? Since that happened?
There was something that just happened recently, but it's way more complicated.
Okay,
and there's a lot of manipulation in there.
Let's just take
the shortest example.
Okay, that's a great one. So thank you. I would sit down with Mom and I would say, Mom, what did you feel right before you got angry? And I would try to ask her the feelings she had. Really, I think you were right that she was bypassed. She was left out of the loop. And
that's her common phrase.
Oh, I know.
Always
because
left out of the loop.
Out of the loop, or if anybody doesn't regard me or abandons me. And so I would stop and ask her, Mom, what'd you feel when you were left out of the loop? Number two, that group of feelings that she comes up with, I would help her understand that, Mom, you felt those feelings for a long time before this situation ever happened. This cluster of abandoned, betrayed, duped, not included, left alone, you felt that for a long time. When do you think are the earliest memories that you have of that? And I would empathize with her here, and I'm trying to give you a theoretical structure of how you approach this person. And then I would give empathy for those losses. They're very much historical. As Sherry Keffer says on our radio show here, what is hysterical today is historical. And so I would help and just empathize with those. But then secondly, I would just say, Mom, do you realize that instead of the hurt feelings, the worried feelings, you always go to anger, and anger is very alienating to all of us. And I would empathize with her, and I would share your concerns. And I would tell her what you're really feeling, that your anger is just pushing me away. I wouldn't speak for a group and say us. I would just say me. It's pushing me away. I would invite her to read the Vacillator chapter in our book, How We Love. I'd invite her to do that first. Secondly, take the online quiz at howwelove.com and to be able to really begin to look at, and there's two kinds of vacillators in the world. There's two kinds of avoiders, pleasers, controllers, and victims. I either want to own what's going on with me and work on it, or I want to ignore it the rest of my life. And that's a choice that she's going to have to make. Hopefully she'll be encouraged to want to take some steps of growth.
Mm-hmm. You notice there's no confrontation in what Mylan just described. It's, mm-hmm. it's empathizing, because confrontation will just get you more of the same. It's futile to confront somebody like that. The only way to approach it is to somehow get into her feelings and empathize with it, mm-hmm. and then be honest about your feelings and how you respond to her reactions.
Mm-hmm. Right. I think you mentioned the book. We should also send Laura a copy of How We Love.
Sure.
Yeah, make sure she has a copy.
Thank you, Laura, for calling us. I'm going to switch gears for just a minute. And I said a while ago we have a special guest with us. And so I want to invite our special guest on. His name is Conrad, and he is an EMB alumni, an Every Man's Battle Workshop alumni, as well as a friend. And so I want to take a minute to talk with him. Conrad, are you there?
Yes, sir. How you doing, Jake?
Hey, good to talk to you. Hey, thanks for joining me, man. I wanted you to be able to take a minute and just talk a little bit about what the Everyman's Battle Workshop was like for you and what it did for you in your recovery.
Oh, man. Everyman's Battle, I attended Everyman's Battle in February of 2016, so what, just 2.5 short years ago in Seattle, Washington. And prior to that, a quick funny story, you know, my wife, when we were divorced, actually called into the radio show, and you had invited me in a year and a half prior to that, and I wasn't having it. So truly blessed that, February 2016, I decided, I went kicking and screaming, but I did go. And, man, you know, EMB for me was a game changer. You know, it truly saved my life. You know, it breathed new life into my recovery. It gave me just a different understanding for what recovery truly was. You know, for me, prior to the divorce, recovery was just about getting sober, you know, and stopping the behavior. And EMB helped me understand that although stopping the behavior was important, it was just part of the recovery process. So the workshop helped me to understand that, you know, true long-term recovery was more about, you know, being restored, being whole. And, you know, I'd read the Every Man's Battle book, and it was a great book, but the workshop was the experience, you mm-hmm. know, that really was key for me. So
yeah, and to your point, one of the things we talk about on Sunday morning is at some point it's no longer about what we're running from, but we actually have to shift gears to what we're running to, right?
The X factor. Absolutely.
You know you read a book, Conrad, I hate to jump in, but it just occurred to me that you read a book alone, you know, you by yourself. It's a solitary effort, but EMB, Conrad, I'm getting that to you as a community, it was a group of guys, and that creates something.
Relationship.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, and you know, how I'm benefiting from this after the workshop, you know, and I'll try to explain this best I can without getting choked up. It was the relationships. You know, mm-hmm. I was truly blessed that weekend to have met my scrub brothers. And, you know, these are men that I've built a relationship. It started that weekend, but these are men that I met with that weekend back in 2016, but we talk daily. You know, we talk either by phone, group me, we spend time together, we cry together, we laugh together, we experience the ups and downs of daily life together. You know, we've grown to depend on each other, and, you know, that secure attachment with these men, these brothers, you know, it's been vital to the health of my recovery and, you know, key to becoming, you know, the man that I know that God created me to be. So one of the guys, actually, this will be our third year next month. We get together once a year, and we travel to Virginia, and we all meet up, and we have a scrub reunion. So we all get together, and we just spend time in the woods in a cabin, and we connect, you know, and it's about the brotherhood, you know, and that was forged in the flames and the agony of it was forged in the flames of agony and laughter, you know. So mm-hmm. it was just time. And who modeled that best than Jesus when he walked with his disciples, you know? So yeah, you're right. It's the relationship in all this that's kept it going. And we have a guy in Canada. We have a guy as far east as Maryland. We have guys in California, and then me, of course, in Houston down south. So,
yeah,
it was definitely the relationships that changed it for me.
Those get-togethers might include firearms and four-wheelers. Right.
I promise you.
Okay, so let me jump to a couple of quick questions. So you mentioned in your story just a second ago, divorced. But you guys aren't divorced anymore.
We're not.
Talk a little bit about that.
Mm. Ooh, it's going to be hard to without getting choked up. You know, and this goes hand in hand with the, with EMB being a game changer. You know, my wife asked me for the first time in 2011 if I would consider myself a sex addict. So I signed up, you know, and shortly after that, we went through the whole process, if you will. And in 2012, going through that process, you know, I thought it was just about admitting the things that I had done wrong. I never had a clue that, you know, it was about, you know, redeeming our story. You know, I thought it was just about coming clean on what I had done. And I had no idea how to help her with her pain. And in 2013, you know, I simply couldn't do it. You know, she was a mess, I was a mess, and we got divorced in 2013. And, you know, by the grace of God, in October 2015, she knocked on my door one night. And, you know, I opened the front door, and she was standing there, and she said, you know, we need to talk. And she walked in, and, you know, I'm looking her in the eyes, and I said, what's going on? She says, you know, I'm finally at a place where I'm ready to go on with my life. And she says, but I don't want to do that. She says, because I love you, and you're a good man, but you've hurt me, and I need you to help me heal. And, you know, that was the moment, you know, for me where I'd experienced grace in that moment for the first time ever. And it was a sweet moment, you know, and when I tell my story, I like to tell people it was equal parts of grace and truth for me. You know, that night with her coming to my door and knocking on the door and giving me something that I didn't earn and I dang sure didn't deserve. You know, that was the grace piece for me. But then going to EMB, surrounding myself with these other men, you know, the other part of that is the truth. You know, they accepted me for who I was and what I had done, but they, you know, they challenged me to step up and do better. And so, in a private ceremony, she and I, in August of 2016, we remarried. Just she, myself, and the pastor and her two boys. And it was a pretty darn sweet moment.
Wow, that's special.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So
it was pretty cool.
That is a sweet thing. So today, there's somebody out there who's listening. Let's say it's a wife. It's a wife who's listening, and she's been contemplating where she goes. What's her next step? Because her husband doesn't want to change. He doesn't. You know, he quasi admits there's a problem, but she can't. She can't seem to get him to budge. What do you do? What do you say to her?
Well, first of all, I would tell her, you know, like I do most, I would tell them about EMB, you know, what I would share with them is that, you know, if they go to EMB, their husbands are going to be in good hands. You know, this is a safe place for their husbands. They're going to be surrounded by men that simply walk the talk, you know, and the weekend leaders that they will go through this workshop with, you know, they'll help them to get to the root of their issues, which... you know, and address and talk through the shame piece and in all this and what role it plays. And so, I think that would help them to understand the importance of getting deeply connected, engaged with other men and being in community with other men. So, you know, I would tell the ladies that, there's hope. They'll get hope from this workshop, you know, and take my sweet wife and my story. You know, we were divorced, remarried and on our way to what I think, will be the sweetest years of our lives. So, you know, it's no longer simply about surviving. All those, you know, the first days and all this, those were dog days, you know, and they were painful. But for the first time ever, you know, we're thriving, we're enjoying where we're at, and even giving back, you know, with our time and with other couples. But I would tell the ladies that there's hope. So hang in there. And you know, trust can be earned back. And, you know, ask for their needs to be met. So you know, I end it with, I think probably the best point is ask for their needs to be met, you know, and
well said.
And,
well said. Last question. I'll let you go. Same thing for a guy listening. Let's say a wife takes this and gives it, she downloads the podcast and gives it to her husband. What do you say to a guy listening who's struggling?
It'll change your life. It'll change your life. You know, I've been through a number of well-preached sermons and listened to and read countless books. Been to a number of seminars and even worked around and heard from some of the best in the industry. But in regards to sex and love addiction, but you know, being in this community, being in this workshop, being around these men will change them if they'll let them. You know, it will change them if they will let it. So you know, it really gives them just a good high level overview of the psychology in all this, and it merges, I think, you know, some of the best with psychology and the theology of all this, and merges the two together. So, you know, you're going to encounter men that will meet you where you're at, you know, and you will instantly walk into a safe place, I think, where they're welcomed. And so they won't feel condemned for what they've done. You know, they'll be around other men who are not just pointing the finger, but willing to get in and wade through it with them, you know, get in the trenches. So,
well said. Thank you.
So that's what I would tell them.
That's great. Hey, thank you for joining us. Man, I'm proud of you. Proud of y'all's recovery and proud of your redemption.
Thank you, brother. Love you, man. Thank you for everything.
All right. Bye-bye. Hey, listen, if you're struggling, we want to see you at the workshop. Give us a call, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
I've had a lot of trauma in my childhood that I realize I haven't dealt with, and it's affected our marriage just because I don't open up about it.
The New Life Intimacy and Marriage Workshop is coming to Dallas September 21st to the 23rd.
I'm very glad we came, and I know for me personally, I learned a lot about myself.
Join Steve Arterburn.
It's been a dream of mine for a long time to help people to grow more intimately together, and we believe that everybody has room to grow in the intimacy level of their life.
And Mylan and Kay Yurkovich.
We help couples understand how their attachment style is sabotaging their current relationship. And then we teach them how to create comfort in a relationship.
And New Life's group leaders will help you focus on the area that will benefit your marriage most. To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or go to newlife.com.
It's definitely given me some major tools to work on myself and our marriage.
Honestly, this is the first time I've ever felt hope that I could actually break the cycle.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
For most of my life, I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
All right. Welcome back to New Life Live. Jason Martinkus here sitting in for Steve Arterburn. And naturally, from the conversation we just had with Conrad, we're going to jump over to Debbie, who's calling us from Pittsburgh, listens on WRGN. Hi, Debbie.
Hi.
Hi. What can we do for you?
Okay. Let me start off by saying that there's so many dynamics to our situation, which I couldn't even possibly get into them all.
Okay.
But my question is, my husband has been involved in porn, lying. I don't know that he's ever had an actual affair. I don't believe so, but I would not really know because he lies about everything. We've been married 20 years. We have 6 kids, and I have no respect for him.
Hmm.
Every day I wake up saying I'm going to treat him differently, and I can't. I just don't know what to do with him.
Sorry.
He's been to every man's battle twice.
Okay.
He's been to counseling. We've been to marriage counseling. He's in a Bible group. He's been to men's groups. He comes from a completely different family than I do. His family doesn't talk about anything.
my family talks about everything. I think we have a daughter with autism. I think he has a touch of autism, like Asperger's or something. He's never been diagnosed, but so there's like that dynamic. And and our whole life has crumbled because of all of this, too. And just, I treat him like a child. I'm mean to him. I'm sarcastic.
Yeah.
We're financially ruined. We're just everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, we lost pretty much our house in a way, not financially, but it's falling apart. And now we're living with my parents. Everything's a mess. And I just don't know what to do, and I have no respect, and we've tried separation. We can't afford to separate.
Okay.
We're sharing a car. I mean, it's just a mess. It's a mess.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. All right, let's start in pieces here. So take a deep breath. All right. So in your most recent conversation with him about, hey, this is where things are, this is the ruin that we're experiencing at the moment. We got to do something to change it. What's his response? What does he say?
He just nods his head, shakes. In a good moment, he nods his head, shakes in agreement, and that's it.
Okay.
In a bad moment, he's very passive aggressive. He's very, I don't know, like, you know, I mean, and I scream at him, and I know it's wrong, and it's yeah. a horrible situation. And it's just, like I said, he's been in porn. Is he in it now? No, because I've taken everything away from him. Like, he can't. He has no access to anything. You know, I control the money. He doesn't have a smartphone. He has no computer access, nothing. So, like, he has a problem with the masturbation. What are you doing it to? The images in his head. You know, I couldn't go to work. I come home unexpectedly, and that's what he's doing, or whatever. Blah,
okay.
Why? So, even if he tells me, I don't know if it's the truth, what he thinks or doesn't think, because he always lies.
Okay, let me interject for just a second. So, I want to say a couple things, and I'll let the guys chime in. The first is, I'm sorry that you feel like you have to be his parent. I'm sorry that you feel like you're losing yourself in the middle of this turmoil, because that's what I'm hearing loud and clear, is you feel like you're losing you. It's not you to be this mean and hateful and all of these things. So I'm sorry that you're losing yourself. It feels like you're losing yourself, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want you to be his mother. It sounds like part of the issue is not so much the sexual integrity issues, although those are issues, but it sounds like more than that is he has no sense of agency in changing y'all's situation. He sounds completely overwhelmed and hopeless. He's barely waking up surviving a day, it sounds like.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that fair?
Yes. Yes.
And then when you go into your mode, it just piles on, and then you get the angry defensive response or the passive aggressive response.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let me ask a quick question. His recovery and the work that he's done around his recovery, you said he's gone to the workshop, he's done counseling. Today, is he still in a support community? Is he still doing those things?
No. He goes to a men's group once a week.
Okay.
But he doesn't share anything about his life. Nothing. He just
he's shut down.
Contributes to what they're talking about.
Okay. But he's shut down.
He went to a sex addicts group, but he didn't want to continue that. But he is not going to counseling right now for financial reasons, because we're putting the money out and it was getting us nowhere. He wasn't really, you know, he was just saying what the counselor wanted to hear, or just nodding in agreement or whatever. It just wasn't getting anywhere.
Okay, last question there. Your support for you, tell me about that. Who's walking this with you?
I don't know. I'm in a women's group, and there's lots of people know my situation outside of the family. My whole family knows the situation. I don't know. I mean, people just, you know, they want to hear it the first few times. They don't want to hear it the next three or four or five. You know, they want to hear it.
Yeah. Okay.
They don't have answers. They want to hear it. I don't know.
Okay, Debbie, you're really trapped.
Yeah.
And I want you to know I hear that.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're trapped, it's a panicky feeling. It's claustrophobic. It is absolutely terrorizing to be trapped in some place. You have six kids. How old's the youngest?
11.
Okay.
She's got seven kids.
Well, she has seven kids. You're absolutely right. Her husband.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
We're going to go to a break, and when we come back, we're going to share with you some ideas. But one of the things that
I don't know if you, I'm sure you heard the call right previous to you, which was Conrad who called in about what he and his yeah. wife went through. His wife was very courageous because she said, I'm not going to do this anymore. And she took steps to separate from him, which really drew him into a place of action. So we're going to talk about that when we get back from the next commercial. We'll be back and talk to you in just a few moments.
Yeah, stick with us, Debbie. We'll be
yeah,
back.
Hang in there.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn from New Life Live. We have something pretty exciting coming up, and it's in March. It is a trip to Israel. Our trips are very special, and the teaching is rich. The experience is priceless. And we're also going to go to Rome in addition to it. It's the 16th through the 26th.
When I went to Israel, my whole view of the Bible absolutely changed. I had a reference point to visualize.
Yeah. We're going to go where David hid from Saul, Jericho, the tunnels under the Western Wall, and the Temple Steps, the Garden of Gethsemane, Masada, the Dead Sea, Mount of Olives, the Garden Tomb, Caiaphas' house, and more.
For me now, when I open up the Bible, it just becomes alive for me because I've been there.
You will not be disappointed in Israel. It is a special, rich, rich time. If you want more information on Israel, I hope you'll look at it on our website, newlife.com.
Last year after Every Man's Battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to New Life Live. Jason Martinkus here sitting in for Steve Arterburn. And we're talking with Debbie, who is really struggling, really trapped. And we're going to try to give her a couple of steps in terms of help. So talking about it during the break, Mylan, you want to jump in there?
Debbie, again, I am so sorry you're in this place. It is, sounds miserable, and our hearts are breaking for you. I really mean that, all of us sitting here. But unless you're willing to do something different than what you're currently doing, nothing's going to change. You'll scream, and to get away from your screams, he'll lie. He'll nod his head. He'll agree. But they're disingenuous. All he's trying to do is get everything to quiet down and settle down, because you already said he came from a family of origin with zero talking. And in fact, if he is on the autism spectrum and he has any aspect of that disorder, then he's going to have a very hard time regulating when he's put under a lot of pressure. So, Debbie, have you consulted with an attorney and ask about a legal separation from him?
No.
Okay. If you
but
don't,
like I said, we've separated twice or maybe three times, very briefly. The
okay.
longest was just 3 weeks.
But that's
for financial reasons, we can't do it.
Well, if you have to do something different anyhow, because unless you're willing to separate from him and create a legal separation where he has to move out and allow your family to have some equilibrium. Because right now you're raising 7 kids, including him. And it's a lousy role to be in. A separation makes a declaration that's very bold and powerful. And it's what I call a warm boundary, which says, look, I love you. And I want to have relationship with you. But until you do something, it's not going to work. And we can't have a relationship. That's just like the gospel, by the way. And I would do something that gets his attention, and I would do something that requires him to do something more than he's doing now. A psychological evaluation, figuring out and getting with a counselor that actually is honest enough with him to tell him if, in fact, he is on that autistic spectrum. And to really get to a place where he's productive, I deduce you are the single breadwinner of the home.
Oh, no, he is.
He is. Okay. Nonetheless, you still have to do something to extricate yourself from the horrible place you're in. And I just recommend that.
Well, at this point, part of what Mylan is saying, Debbie, is that chaos has become the norm.
That's right.
At your house.
That's right.
Chaos is the norm. You have learned to function dysfunctionally in the chaos. Your kids are learning how to operate in the chaos. You can't even think straight when you're living in the chaos. So you have to have more than 3 weeks of distance for even your nerves to calm down, for your brain to come back online neuroanatomically, for you to actually start to think logically about what steps need to happen. Right? You have to break the chaos at this point. Dave, you were going to say?
Well, step number one is you got to stop being the parent because it's not working.
Right.
The more you try to be a parent, the worse it gets, and that's the way it always is. Mm-hmm. Trying harder always gets you more of the same. And so the thing, you got to tell them that, I'm done checking up on you. You're going to be a responsible man, and man up or else we're done. And that's the boundary. That's the beginning of the boundary setting. And then get some advice from an attorney so you know what your rights are and what they aren't. And move forward.
Right.
She's not just the parent, you guys. She is also the policeman. She is taking away this. She's taking away that. She is controlling everything. And that's a horrible place for a wife to be in.
Mm-hmm. And that's, Debbie, that's not a criticism of you in any way, shape, or form.
It's a part of the trap.
Yeah. You're trying to protect your heart. You're trying to feel some sense of normalcy and get out of the chaos. But the way that you're approaching getting out of the chaos is not going to work.
No, that's trying harder. And it gets you nothing.
Thanks. Right. I think, Debbie, to sum that up, what we're saying here is you have to take that next step. All right. And financially, we understand that that's hard. There are people probably in your area who will help you for little to no cost. Some things you're going to have to pay for, without a doubt. But if you'll stick on the line, the call screener will pick up, and we'll figure out what resources we can get you locally so that you can take that next step. And then the other thing is, I ask you about the support. In order to take those big steps, in order to stick to your decisions, you're going to have people around you that get it. Not just the people that are tired of hearing the story, but actually people who will love you through probably the next six months to a year of runway is what you need from them. Okay, so stay online. We'll get your resources there. I want to take a second to talk about what's happening in the ministry. And Larry Sonnenberg is with us in studio to talk about that.
Thanks, Jason. a week ago or so, I made an appeal because we were having a tough month end of July, and I appealed for support, and a gentleman called me. And I wanted to just tell you about that call. I took some notes. His name was Jeff. He said, "I have two sisters that are into what you guys do at New Life. One's been a supporter of you for forever. The other one told me about this book called How We Love." He said, "I got the book, and I've never seen a book that laid it out so well." And coincidentally, this past Saturday, 2 days ago, was his and his wife's 29th wedding anniversary. And he said, "Our marriage has been a struggle. Well, the amount of success we've had in our relationship has been amazing just reading that book." He said, I got your email about the giving, and guess what? I'm donating to your ministry. This book is amazing. Your ministry is doing good work. If only more people would connect with your ministry and read this book."
Hmm.
And I just love that.
Wow. So does Mylan.
Yeah. But that's why we do this program. We want people whose marriages are struggling to get some help. We want the Debbies of the world that are struggling with their marriage, the sexual issues that her husband's dealing with, to get some help. We want people dealing with fear, anxiety, grief, whatever it is. We want you to get some help. That's why we seek your support. So if you would make a gift this month, we're going to give you a book, and it's called as a thank you. And the book is Understanding and Loving a Person with Narcissism. Steve Arterburn and Pat Coleman wrote this book, and it's one of the most popular things topics that we've had in the last year or so is narcissism. So if you would do that, and if you would join Club New Life, $30 or more a month, automatic giving, we'll send you all 8 books in that Arterburn Wellness series. Each title, Understanding and Loving a Person With, and 8 different topics. You get access to the Club New Life video library. And each of these guys here today and other hosts and counselors have done many, many topics on that. So give us a call, 800-NEW-LIFE. Go to newlife.com, make a gift. We'll send you the book, and we'll say thank you. We are deeply grateful for everyone who's given. But for some reason or other, especially during the summer, it's a struggle. And we need you to help us get off the struggle bus. Thank you.
Thanks, Larry. Appreciate that. All right, we're going to jump back on the phones, and we're going to go to Lisa, who's calling from Texas, listens on KKHT. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, how are you today?
Doing all right. How can we help you today?
Well, it was so difficult, but I really relate to Debbie, except for us it wasn't porn, but and we've come after a decade of being on my knees constantly, and begging God to change me, him, us, the dynamic, different now, and it's better, and God is growing both of us. But I'm stuck because I did stop raising my voice. I did stop trying to confront. But because my husband is an avoider, I mean, we can't talk about anything. I'm not allowed to bring anything up. It doesn't matter what it is. I mean, that's if it has to do with us. If it has to do with other people, that's fine. But we just can't be intimate in our conversation, and it's affecting me in other areas of intimacy. I just don't feel anything anymore. And I knew it was going to die if we kept, squelching it or whatever the word is, but I don't know what to do because I'm obviously never going to divorce. I don't believe in that. I don't have grounds anyway now, but what do? I'm stuck. I know I'm bitter. I've repented and begged God to help me, but it's almost like having PTSD, There was abuse in the beginning, and I made constant efforts to forgive, but how do you make the feelings come back or the bad feelings go away?
Yeah. Is he at that place with you where he's asking the same questions?
We don't talk about anything. I will never know what he feels about anything. I've tried to talk to him, and immediately it's, you're just this, you're just that. I've tried every way known to man. I'm kind and gentle and begging God for help the whole time.
Okay.
Has been the problem from the beginning.
Yeah. How long have y'all been married again?
Almost 11 years.
Okay. All right. We're going to go to a commercial break. You stick with us. We'll talk more about it when we get back.
My story includes multiple physical and emotional affairs.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
My wife found out that I had betrayed her. She insisted that I would go to the everyman's battle. I had some idea, perhaps, of what to expect, but I had no idea that it would have the impact on me that it did. There's just something about the way that you meet in a large group and then the smaller breakout groups. And the sharing is just something that I've never experienced before.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
This is the first time in my life that I ever felt comfortable in sharing the real me with other men. In my mind, it is one of the most critical things that a guy can do in his recovery.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get
God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Is that all right?
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to New Life Live. Jason Martinkus is here sitting in for Steve Arterburn. And we're talking with Lisa from Texas, who's kind of at her wit's end with how to get something to change in her relationship. And Lisa, we hear loud and clear that
Boy, we do.
You feel stuck, that you've tried everything under the sun, that you can't disrupt the equilibrium enough. So a couple of steps that we were talking about through the break. And Dave, I'll let you jump in on that, and then we'll kind of piggyback.
Well, you got to get help, Lisa. You can't. You can't break through on your own. That's the sad part of the whole thing. If you can't do counseling, then we've got a workshop coming up in September right there in Dallas nearby. And it would be a life-changing event because you've got a setting in which he's not only confronted by a counselor gently, he's confronted by other husbands and otherwise, and it's life changing. But something you got to do something different, because what you're doing isn't working and it's destroying you. Mm-hmm. Again, I'll say what I said to Debbie. Sometimes the most important thing you can do is to stop doing what you're doing.
Mm. Good point.
And to give it up and to let it go. And when you give it up and let it go, you change your expectations. It may change the whole dynamic of what goes on. But it's, you got to have support. You got to have other ladies that are surrounding you with prayer and support, emotional support, to keep you on track so that you don't succumb to the old way again of confronting and challenging mm-hmm. and getting all upset. At least you stop screaming. That's a good mm-hmm. sign.
Lisa, what do you think would happen if you said to him, or he saw you going on with your life, if he saw you in counseling and in support and growing in your faith and enjoying time with your kids, right? You know, I don't know y'all's life situation, but if he saw you kind of moving on with your life, what do you think would happen?
I don't know. I keep telling him I need counseling. If you don't want to go, I do. And he says no.
Okay. But you haven't taken that step yet?
Well, we got counseling together, but the counselor told me I was going to have to suffer. My husband just would not do what we learned together, and so this is what's just crazy to me. Well, you can just refuse to.
Lisa, what if you interpreted his resistance to his being afraid?
Yeah.
I find that most husbands resist counseling, resist what the counselor says, because they're afraid that they're going to look weak or they're going to be somehow misinterpreted, misunderstood. If you were to interpret his behavior as based on fear, I wonder what that would do in terms of how you respond to it.
I've thought that too. I've appealed to him. You know, talk to me. Is something hurting you? Has someone hurt you? His dad was an alcoholic. He literally drank himself to death in a bar. So I know it's in his family to not talk about things, to not do relationships. I just don't know what to do when you're in a marriage and you can't. Like I said, you know, I'm okay with just saying, okay, if I'm supposed to suffer, whatever God has for me. But how does this play out in your daily life? How do you be intimate when there's no relationship?
No.
I mean,
it's hard.
Going to affect you.
Is this your first marriage?
No.
know, my first husband passed away, and so I got married pretty fast.
Okay.
But, you know, it doesn't matter. I'm in a covenant, and I'm good with that.
Okay. And do you guys have kids?
We do, together. I mean, not together, but we both have kids.
Okay. All right.
They're grown, though. I mean, no one lives with us.
Okay. Lisa, what do you... Tell me real quick, what are you afraid of?
Well, he hurt me a lot. I mean, there's a lot of abuse, and if I try to open any can of worms at all, how do you go back when you stop fighting? How do you go back?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I'm scared of getting hurt again. I can't do more hurt.
Are you talking physically or emotionally?
There was some physical, but it was mostly emotional. Tons of emotional, and I don't know how to go back to that. It's like it's almost like there's peace because I don't bring anything up anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's almost a more comfortable place to stay. But I realize this is affecting me in other ways.
Right.
I'm just okay.
Lisa, one of the things you're also saying, and I'm going to be very brief because our time's almost up, is you're also saying that it affects you in terms of sexual intimacy, which then, as I put the picture together, he won't talk to you, he's distant from you, he's angry, he's shut down, but he wants to have sex with you. And you're saying that's really hard, and that's very impossible for you because it's too much of a gulf to bridge. Is that accurate?
Partly, but he doesn't care about it either. I just know that's not healthy.
Okay, well, it's not healthy, but abuse is not healthy either, and I think it's really important.
He doesn't do that anymore. I just want you to know that he's not abusive anymore.
Okay, right. But you're also afraid to set, you know, Jason, you asked a great question. What are you afraid of, Lisa? And you said, I am afraid to put my foot down. Really, she didn't use those words, but she's afraid to put her foot down.
Right.
You know, because she doesn't want to endure.
I'm afraid you'll get angry again.
Right.
Yeah.
Unless you're willing to poke the bear and walk away and realize you don't have to sit there and take it. Do you have other friends or places you can go or refuge you can go to?
Oh, yeah.
What?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, well, unless you're willing to do that, and all of a sudden you have a bag in your hand, and you leave him a note saying, I've gone away at a friend's house. You know, the next step we need to take is to go to the Dallas 21st and Dallas in September to this weekend workshop, and that's the next card to play, and just not be there. I mean, until somebody, like you said, Dave, until somebody's willing to do something different,
yeah.
I'm just not here. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to just sit around and wait for you to do nothing with me. I'm going to go be at a friend's house. Mm-hmm. That's really important.
Yeah. And Lisa, your voice matters, right? You matter. You're not invisible. You're living in such a way as to seem invisible. And understand that's not a criticism of you. I understand, you know, that you're choosing into that, but you're not invisible. Your voice matters. What you say and what you're asking for in terms of the protection and security of your heart and the meaningfulness and intimacy in the relationship, what you're asking for is not too much. And in a way, it almost sounds like you've become convinced it is, but your voice matters. Okay. So practical next steps, you have to go do the work for you. And that work is to cultivate your voice, to get that inner strength as well as the outer strength from the support, like Mylon was talking about, so that you can take the appropriate next step. You got a lot of room between here and divorce. You got a lot of room between here and even legally separating. But until you are confident within yourself to use your voice to actually speak what matters to you and what you actually need, because your mm-hmm. needs are valid, until you're able to do that, you're going to stay stuck in this place. Okay? So spend the effort, spend the energy on you at this point. Okay? So stay on the line.
Can you give me information on that weekend? Because I don't even know what it's called.
Yes.
Yeah. Stay on the line.
It's the Intimacy and Marriage Workshop. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to put you on hold. I'm going to have our call screener pick up, and then she'll fill you in on those details. Okay? So hang with us. Don't hang up. All right? Listen, if you're in the situation where you're talking about what Lisa, you know, her situation, or you're in a situation like Debbie's from a few minutes ago, we want to help, but we can't help unless you call. The number here is 1-800-NEW-LIFE, It's 1-800-639-5433. We can get you connected with somebody locally to help. We can get you resources. You can come to one of the intensive. We want to help you, but you got to give us a chance to do that. Right? Thanks for joining us today on the show. You're listening to New Life Live.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.